listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media that's dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on theemotionalpro.com or blogtalk.com/FPL radio page. You can also call during this live broadcast toll-free at 800-630-7858. That's 800-630-7858. When I went into personal therapy in the 60s, therapy was seen as necessary. By the 1970s, it was cool, something everyone was doing. And the types of therapy were legion, including Gestalt and bioenergetics and family systems and Rogerian and Ericksonian and rebirthing and even the fabulous scream therapy called primal therapy. Everyone wanted to spend time at Big Sur. EST was in its heyday. But have you heard? These are times of great transformation. Therapy is still being done, but it's slowly falling into some disfavor. And a lot of the work of therapists is being replaced in a way by something new called coaching. We're talking today with David Steele, a former therapist who's now leading the pack in coaching. And he has a new book, From Therapist to Coach, in which he offers help to those frustrated therapists who would like to become coaches, helping them to understand and create this new life direction for themselves, perhaps you, and for the people they help, perhaps you. David Steele is an author, relationship coaching pioneer, and global authority on growing a profitable private practice. He worked for 2 decades as a couples therapist and grew weary of trying to save marriages and chase insurance reimbursements to survive. So he trained as a coach and then had a thriving and profitable coaching practice started within 3 months, leading him to create and test a standardized model of relationship coaching and using it as the foundation for the curriculum of the Relationship Coaching Institute. We interviewed David on Full Power Living regarding his book, Conscious Dating. Welcome now, this industry pioneer and sought-after speaker and trainer, David Steele, with his newest book, From Therapist to Coach. David Steele, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hi, Eileen. Thank you very, very much for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Good. I don't think a lot of people who are listening realize how frustrating it is to be a therapist these days, especially making a full-time living. Things such as mountains of paperwork and cut-rate reimbursement and so forth. Can you talk a little bit about what's so frustrating for therapists these days?
Yeah, you know, what motivated me, and I'm sure you, based on your introduction, and most therapists that I know, is that we become a therapist to help. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to help people. We are definitely into personal growth and healing. And we think that being a therapist is, and getting a license and going to practice is the way to do that. I certainly did. And then what happens is something very different. The reality of private practice is very different from what you think it's going to be when you're training to become a therapist. And what you have to do to survive, in its broadest terms, has to do with the medical model. In order to get insurance reimbursement, we have to diagnose our clients, provide them with a diagnosis. We have to bill insurance, with a medical code of some kind. I don't know any therapist that wants to do that. We do it in order to get paid. We do it in order to survive. And then when you have a bunch of insurance clients, which you have to in order to, you know, pay your bills, not just one's going to do it, then you have hours and hours per week on insurance paperwork, getting on the phone and internet, trying to justify sessions and get more sessions for your clients. You know, it's really awful. I don't know any therapist that wants to do this, that enjoys doing it. And I was frustrated at the time because I had no idea how to build a 100% private pay practice. That's what I really wanted to do, get paid my full fee, cash, check, or credit card from private pay clients. That's what I really wanted to do. I had no idea how to do that. It just seemed like, you know, this impossible feat. And so I was stuck. And I tried like heck to build my private pay practice, and at the same time, depending upon, you know, insurance and managed care to pay my bills. And I just plain burned out. One of the reasons was I was not working with my desired clients. I was not working with who I wanted to work with. And most of us helping professionals, we have an idea of who we want to help and how we want to help them. And we're happy to work with and help anybody who needs our help. But really, you know, we have a calling. We enter our profession for a reason. We have something inside us, a purpose and a mission and a message, and we really want to express that. We really want to bring it forth into the world. So when we're working with clients that really aren't a good fit for us, yeah, we can do it, and we can make a living at it, maybe even a good living at it, but eventually, you know, we burn out.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the transition of the field from the old days of, you know, Est and Esalen and the idea of personal of therapy as a vehicle for personal growth, and then the being pretty much being taken over by the medical model, is that people attach a stigma to therapy. They don't really want therapy. It's kind of a last resort now for when they're desperate or, you know, really hurting and they can't stand it anymore. And as a helping professional, it pains me. I mean, it physically hurts my heart to know that the people that I want to help really don't want to work with me. They'd rather not.
You know, so. I was in jury duty yesterday, and I struck up a conversation with a woman next to me that the woman on the other side heard, and I referred to myself as a psychotherapist, and she immediately snapped and said, "I hate that word when I hear it. Sounds like everybody you work with is psycho, or else you are." And I was really shocked reading
you want to hear something even worse? You know,
what?
I probably shouldn't say this, but if you dissect the word therapist,
uh-huh.
You know, you split it in the middle, it's the rapist. But
oh, yes.
we're not going to go there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what my daughter said when she was 10. She said, "I get it, Mom. You're the thera, and your clients are the pists." I was also a pist at that point in time. But, yeah, that's the thing is that there, you know, you can sort of tell that a lot of things are conspiring to move us here because people didn't used to complain about how a therapist referred to themselves very much. Now, it wasn't the negatives about therapy so much as the positives about coaching that drew you after your 20-year practice as a relationship therapist, though, right? A couples therapist.
Well, you know, I burned out. I got to the point where I hated my work, but I didn't want to do anything else. I mean, it's paradoxical. It's like I have this strong mission. I want to help people have successful marriages and families. That's what I'm about. I've had that mission and desire ever since I was young. And even when I burned out as a therapist, I still wanted to do that. I didn't want to do anything else. But I didn't know how to go about it in a way that was more fulfilling to me. When I stumbled upon coaching, I just fell in love with coaching. I mean, at first I was suspicious, you know, because, you know, you don't need a license to be a coach. You don't even need a degree. And the first coach I ever met that called himself a coach, you know, he didn't have a license and a degree. And I just thought, yeah, how in the world can he coach somebody? How can he help somebody with their life? He doesn't have a license and degree, you know, and I do. He's going to be working with clients, taking their money. You know, I should be working with those clients. That's not responsible. But I looked into what coaching was. Because I was curious. It was this entire new helping professional that emerged under my nose. I didn't even know about it because I was ensconced in my four-walled office, you know, working with my clients. And it turns out that coaching, after I looked into it, is a really powerful helping modality. It's very, very different from therapy, counseling, you know, anything, any other kind of helping modality I was familiar with. And when I first sought training, I just fell in love with it. And I decided that I really, you know, this is the new hope for my practice, for us as therapists. This is the next evolution of therapy. And this would be a great way to help people with their relationships. So I'm a relationship guy. And so I looked around for a training program, you know, who could show me how to coach relationships with the model that I was learning of coaching as opposed to, you know, therapy or doing something else. There was no training program, nothing. So I pretty much had to figure it out for myself until I found my own training program.
My sister, years ago, couldn't find the kind of dance program that she wanted, so she started teaching one at Brown University. I'm familiar with that concept.
Yeah.
You learn a lot as a teacher. Now, you suggest that coaching actually is a natural fit for therapists, and my idea is that you're suggesting it might be easier for therapists than for a lot of people to go into coaching because we have had some training and we do have some experience in helping people. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Therapists are, you know, we believe in human potential. We want our clients to be happy and successful. And we see the good in people. And we also see their pain. And we have empathy and we're good listeners. And if we had a way to help them that was effective, we would do it. And most therapists I know are training junkies. You know, when I was a therapist, I would take every training that I could found that if I thought it could possibly help my clients. And, you know, EMDR and EFT and, you know, hypnotherapy, you know, NLP, you know, everything I could find. And so we really care about our clients. We want to help them be successful. Coaching is a very powerful, empowering method of helping our clients. But it's hard for some therapists because it requires us letting go of being the expert, being the one to provide opinions, professional opinions and diagnosis and interventions. And it's more of a facilitation. Now, most therapists are good at facilitating groups or facilitating conversations or facilitating, you know, insight. So facilitation is something that comes natural to us, but we have to take our doctor hat off. You know, we have this license and degrees and expertise, and we think that the way to help our clients is by giving them the answers, giving them the solutions, giving them our brilliant insights and our brilliant interventions and ideas. And coaching doesn't do any of that. And if you look at the reality, here's a principle that I learned, and I didn't learn it in coaching, by the way, but you know, I learned that people support what they help create. People support what they help create. So if they are involved, if it comes from them, of the solution and the insight and the answer and the idea and the intervention, then they will support it, then they will implement it, then they will own it. If it comes from the outside, there's a tendency to resist it. And all therapists encounter resistance with our clients, and we think it's, you know, the client's fault. You know, they're just resisting. Well, the reason they're resisting is because, you know, they want to be empowered. They really want it to come from inside them, not to be handed down from some authority figure. So coaches let go of the mantle of authority. They let go of being the expert, even though we are experts in our area of expertise. And we totally focus on empowering the client to discover who they are, what they want, how to get what they want, hold them accountable to getting the action to actually do it. The beauty of coaching, where coaching really shines, is helping the client translate knowledge into action. The client already knows. Most people know what they should do. So giving them answers or telling them what they should do or giving them advice is not helping them. Most people already know what they should do. They're having trouble doing it. Mm-hmm. And doing it because you tell them they should do it is not going to help them. That doesn't increase the odds of success. So the beauty and the art and science of coaching is this whole helping methodology that empowers our clients to get into action and actually do the things they want to do, need to do, know they should do to achieve success. You know, that's really the crux of it.
Mm-hmm. See, I think I've been doing kind of a hybrid of the two. That came from my development of what I called conscious parenting. In my 20 years of being a single parent, I realized that my children and I were collaborators in life. They helped me, I helped them, I had a few facts, they had some information. And so I developed a collaborative model, and I really got this point that people do better when they make their own decisions. But in reading your book, I see that there are a few more places I need to put my foot anew to make a full transition. But one of the things I have found from the way that I've done therapy is how powerful it is, both for you as a therapist and for the client, to realize and know that this is not my issue that we're working on, it's yours. I may learn something from you, but it's not my issue, and that I'm there to support you in doing your learning. That's a very powerful approach.
Right, and one of the most important features of coaching that we need to mention at this point is that coaching works with functional people.
Right.
And if somebody has a clinical disorder, if somebody really has difficulty functioning, they're not a candidate for coaching. All the stuff we talked about how, you know, empowering them, you know, the art and science of coaching, doesn't work with non-functional people. It works with functional people. And a lot of therapists, including me way back then, you know, dream of working with functional people. We would love to help functional people achieve success, happiness, and fulfillment in their life, but we have no idea how to get these kinds of clients because they're not in pain. And as a therapist, we deal with people in pain. We know how to find them. We get paid for working with their pain. They're motivated by pain. And so for a lot of therapists, we're kind of a little bit lost and confused, and we can't imagine, well, why would somebody want to pay me if they don't need my services, if they're not in pain, if they're not, you know, dysfunctional in some way? And so let me share this little tidbit that I learned, and you'll probably recognize it. People will pay for what they want much faster and much more than what they need.
Mm-hmm.
People will pay for what they want, but not so much for what they need. And as a therapist, it really drove me crazy when people would call me and at the point that I stopped taking insurance, which was probably the best day of my professional life, by the way. I mean, you know, really, honestly, the best day of my professional life was not the day I got my degree, got my license, started my private practice. The best day of my professional life was when I stopped taking insurance. Oh, man, that was so freeing. And when I would tell people that I didn't take insurance, and, you know, by that time I was very well established, very, you know, had a lot of expertise in working with couples, and I specialized in couples in crisis, couples on the verge of divorce, and I wanted to help them save their marriage, and maybe that's why I burned out. And if their insurance didn't pay for it, they wouldn't work with me.
Uh-huh.
That was painful. They needed it. They desperately needed it, but they would only do it if their insurance paid for it. I mean, I'm wondering how many therapists listening to this are shaking their head. That, yeah, I've seen that too. However, as coaches, we market to the public, what I call the public. These are just all regular folks out there that, you know, want happiness and success and fulfillment. They have a goal. They know they need support for that goal. They can't do it by themselves. It's more like a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to lose weight, if you want to get in great shape, if you want to run a marathon or something, then most people see the wisdom of working with a support person to help them stay on track. And most people see the benefit and wisdom of working with a coach, somebody that can help you stay on track, because it is hard to be successful alone. In fact, I will venture that no one is successful alone. We're social beings. We all need support. Children need parents. Students need teachers. Employees need managers. You know, we all need mentors. We all need support people. And coaching is a very positive, empowering form of support. There's no stigma attached to it. It comes very naturally to therapists once we let go of our need to be the expert. And then when it comes to our clientele, we focus on functional people. And when, you know, Eileen, before we open the show, you asked me a question, and this is probably a great time to cover that.
Actually,
and the question you asked me was, well,
David,
you know,
I hate to interrupt you, but it's time for us to take a break. Could you hold that for afterwards? I would really like to hear your comments. Yes. All right. We're talking today with David Steele, author and relationships coaching pioneer. You can find him at relationshipcoachinginstitute.com on the web. And when we return, we'll be getting the answer to my question from David. You're listening to Full Power Living. Stay with us.
Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. Before we get started, I have just a few announcements. You can talk with us right now on either of our chats. One is on emotionalpro.com. The other is on blogtalkradio.com/FPL. And if you miss us live, you can download archived podcasts from our radio show page on Emotional Pro, or you can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes and have the shows delivered to you. Please accept our thanks right now for telling your friends and family about all they can discover through Full Power Living and for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. Next week, we visit again with Harvard-educated Dr. Richard Shamus and his charming wife, Carolee Shamus, who's PhD and RN, talking about the commonly occurring thyroid connection to mental health that they discuss in their latest book, Thyroid Mind Power. The following week, we will have a fascinating visit with Jennifer Prosek as she talks about her book, Army of Entrepreneurs, where she shows us how to get a better, more successful performance in business by empowering your employees and colleagues. Don't miss a single episode of Full Power Living. We're talking today with David Steele, founder of the Relationship Coaching Institute and author of Conscious Dating and From Therapist to Coach, among other things. And so, David, before the break, I had to interrupt you not to respond to my question that I asked before the show started. So can we start there? And I'm interested to hear your response.
Yeah, your question was pretty much the question of all therapists, which is, you know, I have this training, this training, this training. I have this specialty, this specialty, this specialty. You know, how do I get clients? You know, I have all this expertise. I have all these services I can provide. I have so many ways that I can help people. You know, how can I get clients? And that is a question that puzzled me for decades in private practice. You know, especially as a coach, since we're targeting functional people, it becomes even more important, you know. Well, now I'm a coach. I can help people be successful in their lives and achieve their goals. And, you know, it's a great new helping modality, and I can help functional people now. But how do I get these clients? And so I have the answer for you. I don't know if it's the answer, but in my experience, this is the answer. I'd love to hear any other answers, but the answer is you must choose a niche. Now, a lot of helping professionals don't understand exactly what a niche is. And when I ask them what their niche is, they start talking about their specialty. So let's talk a little bit about the language. Your profession is your job title. That's what you put on your business card or on your tax return or when people ask you what your occupation is. So your profession is your job title. Your specialty is the area of focus within your niche. It's the area of focus for your services. So, you know, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. My specialty always has been working with couples. So that's my specialty, is couples therapy. And your niche is the identifiable group of people, the target audience that you serve. And to a lot of helping professionals listening, it's like, well, don't be ridiculous. I want to work with anybody who's a candidate for my services. Well, if you think about it, no. If you would work with just anybody, then you'd be going to the prisons. You'd be going to third world countries. No, you don't just work with anybody. There are certain people that you feel called to help, certain people you want to help. You have a particular target audience, people that you like to work with. And if you were to choose a niche, an identifiable group of people, then you could target your marketing. And marketing is communicating what you do. It's only effective if you have a target audience so that you can target your message to them. You have a mission and you have a message. Your mission is how you want to help people. Your message is the kind of conversation that you want to have with them. It has to resonate for them. So the reason why a lot of practitioners struggle is because they are well trained to conduct their services, to provide those services and to help people, but they don't narrow their marketing and their target audience down to a niche, and then they struggle. So, for example, during the commercial break, Eileen, you know, I heard about your book, mm-hmm. about, you know, ending codependency.
Right.
Great topic, hugely important, wonderful area of expertise. And if you were a therapist and you wanted to specialize in codependency or you want to sell a book for codependency and you wanted your marketing to be falling down easy, you would choose an identifiable group of people that had a high incidence of codependence and could really benefit from your services.
Right.
And a lot of practitioners have difficulty choosing a niche because they're still stuck in their lens and their filter of, well, here's who I am, and here's what I'm trying to do, and I want to do this with, you know, anybody that can benefit from it. And it seems like it's unfair to the world to eliminate certain groups, and it's unfair to us, meaning it would cut down our pool of potential clients if we eliminate certain groups to narrow it to other groups. But the reality is that it expands your practice tremendously. Having a niche means that you can be the go-to person. You can position yourself to own your niche. You can become well-known for serving that niche. How well-known and how famous and how successful can you be serving everybody? You know, maybe if you're Dr. Phil and you get lucky, who knows? But for most of us, we, you know, can absolutely have a what I call a million-dollar practice, meaning a one-to-many model of practice, serving many, many people, but you have to have a specific target audience for that. You can't just, you know, have services you're trained to do and offer and then offer it to everybody and anybody, because all effective marketing is target marketing. So if you're having trouble with this and if you're having trouble choosing a niche, you're wondering how to do that, I have a great program for you, and it's free.
Why do I have a program for you, huh?
Okay. That's another topic, by the way. Sell programs, not sessions, so please remember to ask me about that. But anyway, if you go to milliondollarpractice.net, and this is the topic of my next book, by the way, How to Build a Million Dollar Private Practice. milliondollarpractice.net, you can download a free program, How to Choose a Niche. It is the most common question and problem that I've gotten, and so I provide this program for free. I really, really want to help practitioners leverage their gifts and their talents and have a wildly successful practice. The thing standing in the way is how difficult it is for them to understand what a niche is and to actually choose one and then to leverage that niche. So this program will get you started. It gives you all the information. It gives you 11 strategies, not 1, 2, 3, 11 strategies for choosing a niche. So I guarantee you're going to come up with way more ideas, and then it's just a matter of narrowing them down.
I really appreciate this, and I want to comment also for those who are listening that you are one of the people, you, of all the people that I know, give away more free things to people. You're just characteristically very, very generous. I know it's also part of your marketing plan that you even discuss in your book, From Therapist to Coach, but also it's just remarkable how open and sharing you are, and I want to thank you for that. And by golly, I'm going there to...
well, you know, it's not just about marketing. It's also about mission and message.
Yes.
And
yes.
The more people I reach, the more people I help, sure, the more money I make and the more my business builds. But even without the money, even without a business, you know, I'm motivated by my mission and my message. Mm-hmm. And I am grateful to you, Eileen, for the privilege to be able to share my message. You know, I have an important message for therapists that, you know, hey, if you're not fulfilled, if you're frustrated, you know, there's an alternative for you. And you have a mission, you have a message, you have talents and gifts. There is a way that you can have a very successful practice and you can be happy and fulfilled in your practice. You know, consider coaching. So go to therapisttocoach.com and check it out. So I have a mission and a message. I don't expect all therapists to resonate with it. I was in Washington, D.C. for the launch of the book at the Psychotherapy Networker Symposium. So there were 3,000 therapists there. And
wow.
I had a blast. And there were some therapists there that resonated so strongly and said, oh, my God, you know, I got to get this book. And there were other therapists that just passed me right by. They didn't want to look at it. They didn't want to think about it. So that's okay. And this is what it's like when you have a niche, when you have a target audience. Then you give people something to resonate with, and they are attracted to you, and they seek you out, and they find you. And you're not going to resonate with other people, and that's okay. We have a mission. We have a message. We are on this planet to spread that message and implement that mission, and we want to make a good living doing that. And I care about helping professionals making a good living doing that. It pains me when I see practitioners give up and get a job because they have difficulty getting clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because really, we can't change the world. We can't make a difference in the world if we can't get clients. So it's just hugely important, and it's one of the strong emphasis that we have at Relationship Coaching Institute. You know, we are the first and largest relationship coach training organization, and that's pretty cool. But we are the only training organization that focuses on actually helping our graduates build practices and get clients.
Mm-hmm.
The only one. And to me, it's like, well, duh, you know, of course, you know, if they graduate our trainings and are not able to get clients and it doesn't go anywhere, then it's a waste. So I got to get off my soapbox. I mean, I can talk for hours about that.
I get that. It's good.
let me share a bit about the sell programs, not sessions part.
Okay.
Because this is a hugely important paradigm for us as private practice professionals. We have to realize that the public out there, the people that we want to serve, they don't want to buy sessions with us. They don't want to pay you $200 an hour for your time. They want results. They want transformation. They have goals. They want to be happy and fulfilled in their life. They are very, very willing to sign up for something that will help them get there if they're convinced that it will help them get there. And so one of the ways to convince them is to take our services, which is pretty intangible. You know, what do? We talk. We listen. And that's very intangible and abstract. Take our services and make it tangible by turning it into a program. A program. A program has structure. It's tangible. You call it something. What do you call it? You call it something that is the highest goal, the biggest result that your target audience wants. That's what you call your program. It's the how to find your soulmate in 90 days program. You know, whatever your target audience really, really wants in the language that they use to describe it, that's what you call your program. And then you design your program, you tailor it for them, for your target audience. And it can include individual sessions, groups, workshops, classes, retreats, you know, home study. It can include everything in the kitchen sink. What's most important is that it's a program. It's tailored for the people in your niche that you want to serve and help. So it's specialized just for them. And you promote that. You market that. You don't try to sell them sessions. You help them through your program, and you market your program. So, Eileen, which would you rather buy if you're single? Would you rather buy some sessions with me as David Steele Relationship Coach for Singles? Or would you rather, you know, buy a, you know, 8-week program, a conscious dating program in which I have a class for you, we're going to spend a weekend at a workshop, I'll meet with you with several individual sessions, you'll get a copy of my book, and at the end of this program, you'll be absolutely clear about who you are, what you want, how to get what you want in a life partner so that you can finally find that person and live happily ever after. Would you like to sign up for that program, or would you rather hire me for some sessions?
Well, especially when I was a single parent, my money was short, so it certainly sounds also like I'll get a whole lot more for my money with the 8-week course in addition to weaving together all the things that I'd really like to have.
And the business model of having a program, my favorite business model looks like this. You start with an intro. It could be a seminar presentation. The seminar or presentation would be the topic that is most top of mind to the people that you want to reach, your niche. So if I want to reach, you know, women over 50 that are worried about being alone for the rest of their life and have trouble dating and they think all the men, you know, want younger women. So, you know, how to find love after 50 for single women. Hmm. And so I'm going to do a presentation on that, a seminar. And I'm going to give them lots of great information, and the next step for them is going to be my class or workshop. And I'm going to teach them my entire program. I'm going to walk them through it. And I'm going to let them know exactly what they're going to get out of this program, and the benefits and results are going to be compelling. So all the people in that room for that presentation, they are highly qualified candidates for this 6-week class, 8-week class for this program. I know because it's a program on how to find love after 50 for single women. So, you know, it's like falling down easy. Well, of course, you know, that's exactly who I'm going to enroll in my program. Mm-hmm. And then when they are in my 6 or 8 week, you know, class or program or my weekend workshop, I'm going to teach them everything I know. All the steps, all the secrets, all the strategies, all the information they need to know. I'm going to have them do exercises. I'm going to give them an experience that they have hope and inspiration. This is incredibly important, and really, write these two words down. People need hope and inspiration more than answers, more than information. We as experts, we like to give information. We like to teach. What they need more than your information is they need hope and inspiration. So they're going to be inspired. They're going to be hopeful. They're going to be excited. And then my next step for them is going to be an ongoing group, a coaching group, because I'm going to support them to implement what they learned in the class or workshop. And I'm going to educate them that most people, that in fact, here's one of my favorite sayings, and go, feel free to write this down and use it. Mm-hmm. This event will not change your life. What you do after this event will change your life. So go ahead and substitute program or class. This class will not change your life. What you do after this class will change your life. And it's really hard to be successful alone. We are going to support you. We have an ongoing program. We're going to meet every week. We are going to support you to apply and implement everything you've learned in this class. Would you like to be part of that? By this point, they bonded with you. They bonded with each other. Of course they want to continue. So then, boom, you've just gotten yourself a bunch of clients and an ongoing coaching group out of that class. And you're going to get individual clients as well, because there are people in your group that are going to need more support than the group can provide. So, boom, that's where you get your individual clients. That is my favorite model for building a wildly successful coaching practice. You can apply it to therapy and just about any other practitioner as well. What do you think?
Well, so is that the model that you followed? Because I know you became successful, I don't know if you use the term wildly, in 90 days after you were trained, and you also offer that you can teach therapists to be successful in 90 days, correct? Is
right.
This the model
what
you follow?
What I did, and mm-hmm. really, you know, it's after 15, 20 years of being in practice, so it wasn't out of the blue, but I was trying to figure out, okay, now I want to do coaching, how can I get coaching clients? So I got the bright idea to target singles because they're easier to identify and market to than couples, and easier to get them to show up for something. And then in my events, I wanted them to be fun. I wanted them to be supportive. I wanted them to be educational. I also didn't want to just have it be the David Steele show. You know, I really wanted to provide something that served them, and this was a whole new world for me, and I didn't really know a whole lot about it. So I conducted market research. And it's incredibly important. We must learn directly from the people that we want to serve, who they are, what they want, what they need, what their biggest goals and challenges are. We need to really know them from the inside out in order to market to them effectively and serve them effectively. So one of the smartest things I've ever done was to do that market research, and then I launched something. And I launched a weekly singles event. And the people that attended this event brought their friends. I showed them a good time. I taught them a few things about relationship. We had some networking. They were single, so they wanted to meet each other. And it was a safe, supportive environment. And it really met their needs. And I knew it was going to meet their needs because I asked them what their needs were. And I continued to get their feedback along the way. And then when I launched my first class, I didn't have all the content. I announced a 6-week class, and I had an outline of what I was going to do. And this is called pre-selling, by the way, and most big companies do it. You know, Apple Computer is going to pre-sell their iPhone or iPad, you know, months before it actually leaves the factory. And so we can pre-sell our services, too. So I pre-sold my class, and I had my class full, and then the class graduates became an ongoing group, and I started another class, and I started getting individual clients. And in that entire process, I mean, I was moving fast, I was being creative, I was having fun. It honestly filled my practice. I had a full coaching practice within 90 days after launch. And I look back on it, and it's like amazing and almost a miracle, but there's a definite science to it. And it delights me to help practitioners do this. Choose a niche. Do your market research on your niche. Design something compelling to them. Launch it. Follow up your launch with, you know, more market research. You know, learn marketing skills and enrollment skills. One of the important things that practitioners ignore is the importance of enrollment. We have to learn how to get people to say yes to our services.
Great. I want to hear more about enrollment, but we've got to take another break. So.
Okay.
All right. We're talking with David Steele, author and relationships coaching pioneer. You can find him at therapisttocoach.com on the web. He's a warm and engaging writer, too, so also check out both Conscious Dating and From Therapist to Coach. We have more on Full Power Living for you when we come back from this break.
Thank you.
Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com. All right, we're back here on Full Power Living today talking with David Steele about how to go from frustrated therapist to successful coach, and you can find out more about him at therapisttocoach.com.
Therapisttocoach.com.
.com.
And then
okay,
the
good.
Million Dollar Practice website is milliondollarpractice.net. And then the Relationship Coaching Institute website is relationshipcoachinginstitute.com.
Thank you. So I'm listening to that ad that I put together, and I can, now that I've read your book, I hear the hybridization that, you know, you get to do this at the same time I'm the expert. That's very interesting. So thank you for helping me to see that. David, tell us more about enrollment and why it might be difficult for therapists to involve themselves in enrollment.
Okay, well, you know, we talked about some elements of building a successful practice, one of which, you know, is choosing a niche so that you have a target audience to market to, and marketing is communicating what you do. Another is having a program, sell programs, not sessions, and so you market your program to your niche, and having an introductory seminar or something is a great way to do that. Having a service delivery system, and I described one, is a great way to do that because now you're making your services tangible. And so marketing is half the battle, half the equation. The other half is enrollment. Marketing is communicating what you do. Enrollment is connecting with a potential client. It's a connection. It's a relationship. It's building the know, like, and trust factor so that they come to say yes to hiring you or to signing up for your program. And so enrollment is key and it's critical. And it does not involve selling. It doesn't have to involve selling. Most practitioners are uncomfortable selling, and that's okay. No selling is needed. Remember, this is all about attraction and fit. If somebody resonates with you, if they're a good fit for you and your program because they are in your niche and they really want what you have to offer and you put something together compelling for them, they're going to want it. And so they will come to you. They'll be attracted. You'll have a conversation with them. And in your conversation, I call it the enrollment conversation, you go through a number of steps to lead them up to saying yes to hiring you and paying you money. And these specific steps, even the script, exactly what to say and do, is in Chapter 8 of the Therapist to Coach book. And I notice we're running out of time. There's no way that I could do justice to this topic right now. So just, you know, open up Chapter 8 of the Therapist to Coach book, borrow one from a friend, get it from the website, therapistcoach.com, borrow Eileen's copy, you know.
Okay, mine's
fine. It's all laid out there. Trust me in that it's a process, it's a series of very simple steps, it's a conversation, and one of the most challenging parts to that conversation for some practitioners is what I call objections. And people say, well, you know, I'd really like to, but I'm not sure I can afford it right now, or, well, I have to think about it, or, well, let me talk to my wife. And or they ask you questions like, well, what's your success rate, or do you provide a guarantee, or where did you get your training? And the very interesting things about these responses, these objections, is they are not no. You notice that, Eileen?
Mm-hmm.
None of them are no. The most common
right.
responses we get from potential clients when they hold back from hiring us, it is not the word no.
But they're also not yes, David.
So what's going on is they're experiencing fear. They're experiencing doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt in themselves, maybe doubt in you. Oh, can you really deliver this? And there are very simple ways to overcome these objections, to help them get over their fear to hire you. And the secret is all about their desire. Their desire is going to be stronger than their fear. So we have a very simple process when they come up with this stuff to help them reconnect with their desire and to say yes to investing in themselves, to getting what they want, to overcoming their fear of failure, fear of success, whatever it might be, to be successful and get what they really want out of their life. So the enrollment process is just so important because, number one, it's the key to private practice success. It's getting a client to hire you.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it's the key to our clients getting the benefit of working with us. They're not going to change their life or get what they want out of their life unless they say yes to themselves, unless they say yes to working with you and the transformation that you can offer them. So enrollment is an incredibly critical skill. It is not hard to do. You just have to have a strategy for it. The strategy is totally laid out in Chapter 8 of From Therapist to Coach.
It definitely is, yes.
And one of the best parts of the strategy that I like to share that I think we do have some time for is the idea of providing a strategy session. Now, I see practitioners right and left offering a free initial consultation, or free sample session, or free 30-minute consultation. You know, the language changes, but it's all the same idea. I'm going to put this out there in a marketing as a marketing device to get people to call me up and make an appointment and become my client. And unfortunately, it works a little bit, but it doesn't work very well. Some people will call you up and end up hiring you. A lot of people will want free services because that's what you're advertising, a free service. And instead of offering a free service, provide a free private one-to-one blank strategy session. So fill the blank with what their biggest goal is. How to find the love of your life after 50 strategy session.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're promising is you're going to strategize, you're going to talk about how to do this, you're not actually going to deliver it in a free service. And my best tip about providing this strategy session, when you advertise it, is don't just put it up on a website. Don't just put it out an email blast, expect everybody to sign up for it, because they're not signing up for your free initial consultation either. You know, we don't really get that even though we mean well and we have a lot to offer, that the people in the world, they got better things to do. They're not going to sign up for something just because it's free. So you offer your free strategy session after your presentation. You give a seminar presentation, and then you offer your strategy session. A teleseminar over the telephone, same thing. So people will take you up on it if it's scarce. When they're ready to say yes, when they're in the position to say yes, they're not going to take you up on it just because they see it on the Internet, you know, free strategy session. So that's one of my best tips is, you know, don't provide a free initial consultation. Offer a free blank strategy session. The blank is the people in your niche, what their absolute biggest goal is. So this is an example of targeted marketing. If you target your marketing like this, you will be successful. You won't be struggling anymore trying to, you know, get anybody in the door and to help them. You will be successful if you target your marketing, choose a niche, and offer something that your niche really wants, really needs, and is willing to say yes to.
Okay, thank you. And I want to just ask a few quick questions here. If I, from a client's point of view, as a coaching client, how would I know whether somebody who calls themselves a coach really knows their stuff and can help me? What do I look for?
Well, I'll tell you what most people do, and I highly recommend it. We have this wonderful thing nowadays called the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, if they hear about you by word of mouth or they see an announcement or some kind, they're going to check you out on the Internet.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to find your website. They're going to find out about you. They're going to find out what other people say about you. So what does that mean? It means, number one, you have to have a web presence. Number two, you have to have social proof out there, people willing to say how great you are and how great your program is. And you have to have a specialty and you have to have a niche. So here's a litmus test for you. If you were to Google your name on the very first page of results, you should find yourself, and not only find yourself, but find your specialty and your niche as well. So the name David Steele, by the way, it's a very popular name. There's lots of people named David Steele, and there's some famous people named David Steele, the drummer in Fine Young Cannibals. There's a Baltimore Star columnist. There's a famous British soccer player, you know. But if you were to Google David Steele, yeah, you're going to find those people. But you're also going to find me. And not only are you just going to find me, you're going to find my specialty and my niche. You're going to find that, you know, I've written this book for singles, and it's conscious dating and all that good stuff. So go ahead and give it a try. In my mind, that is effective marketing when all private practice professionals can Google their name. And on the Internet, they have enough of a presence that their specialty and their niche shows up. And when you click through on a link, you find out what their program is, and you find what other people say about them.
Okay, give me a half a minute answer. How has coaching changed you?
My work is fun and it's profitable, and I never want to retire. And I wake up every day excited to go to work. Much different than when I was a therapist.
Wow, that's really great. Well, I always know, David, that when I talk with you, I'll be receiving quality, and of course that's what you've given us today. So I really want to thank you for taking your time to talk with us about how to move from therapist to coach, but also to explore more this cultural phenomenon where we're moving more toward empowering people and less having them look at us as experts and so forth. So thank you for joining me here on Full Power Living today. Your book is From Therapist to Coach, and your website is therapisttocoach.com. You're also at relationshipcoachinginstitute.com. And the other one, tell me that one again.
MillionDollarPractice.net for the free How to Choose a Niche audio program.
Thank you very much. And I do look forward to having you come back with your next project, and good luck with this one. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Eileen.
Next week on April 28th, we have the Drs. Shamus on deck to talk about thyroid mind power. Join us live on Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pacific time zone and noon Eastern time for another powerful experience on Full Power Living. And we'd like to thank our producer extraordinaire, Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Living with Eileen Dillon.